Glory be to God. It's good to be together again. That's not the title of the message I'm preaching today. I'm going to speak to you. I'm so excited to be here again and to speak the word of God. And I believe there is somebody that is going to be spoken to today. I believe somebody in here will be spoken to. And I believe somebody will walk out of this place today, not the same way they came. Because the word of God will never return void. It will always... I've never been to a place in my life where the word of God has been preached and nothing happens in the lives of men and women. I've never been to such a place. Maybe you have been. I've never been. Everywhere I've been, where the word of God has been spoken, has been preached, lives have been touched. Change has been seen. And today, we are going to look at the word of God and see what we have for us. I've come to see in my life that most of the battles that we fight, those we win and lose, we win them in the mind. We win them in our, we lose them in our emotions. We lose or win them in our hearts. Every day, we walk with issues in our lives. Every day, we walk in battles in our lives. Every day, there are things going on. Whether you've got whichever title you have, whichever status you're coming from, whatever happens in your life, every day we walk in those issues. Whether you are a pastor, whether you are a sheep, or whether you are what, every day. There is one time, I remember not too long ago, when I preached in a church, outside here. And I made an otako. I discovered that half of the church answered that otako. Then I was wondering in my mind, what has happened here? One of the, in the crowd, actually there was one of the pastors of the church that answered the otako. And then I said, if a pastor can answer the otako, everybody can answer the otako. So it means that even pastors go through issues. You see what I'm talking about? So today we're going to encourage ourselves in the Lord and see, oh my goodness, let's go to the word. The title today, I'm speaking on divine disposition. Divine disposition. Forget about the other word down there. Favor day. And we're going to talk about that later. But look at that. Divine disposition is what we're going to talk about. Turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, we'll read from verse 6 up to verse 9. The Bible reads... Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture... Foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand. You can imagine the gospel was preached to Abraham, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Pastor Walker has been taking us through the series in this book of Galatians. And so today, I will start from this book of Galatians, but I'm not going to continue with the same path he's been taking. He's going to continue when he comes back. We agreed that I will take my position from the book of... Yes, we had an agreement. My senior pastor and I had an agreement. I will take this part of mine. You come and continue with your part. And that was settled. So I'm glad to stand here and start from the book of Galatians, because my boss started from there. My leader started from there. I'm also there. You don't want to, your leader is going this way. You don't want to go that way, isn't it? So I'm starting from the book of Galatians. But my emphasis, maybe it's going to, we will see where we're heading to, because I'm talking about this divine disposition. Three things here. Just as Abraham believed, this chapter 3 of Galatians, this is where I beg your pardon. This is where Apostle Paul calls the Galatians foolish. It is here. Please don't take offense. I didn't write that. I don't know your Bible. Mine says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you?" It is here. Now, going through, maybe at the end of what we're talking about, we're going to find out why Apostle Paul was so upset and called the whole bunch of the Galatians people foolish. And wondered who had bewitched them. Because these are the people that he preached to. These are the people he led to the Lord. These are the people he introduced the grace of God to. These are the people he taught that, you know what? Justification is by faith. You don't need to do anything for you to be justified. You don't need to do anything for you to stand right with God. All you need to do is to believe. He had told them. You don't need to follow the law, because laws are complicated. In the old covenant, they tried. They had these laws given to them. They tried. They failed. Then, because they failed to follow the laws that were given, they began to think the laws God had given to us are not even enough. Let's begin to increase them. They ended up multiplying them to levels that they couldn't even remember which one was the last and which one was the first. The law. And now Apostle Paul has taught them. It is complicated, guys. That path, following that path, no one will be justified. It is by faith. This is where I'm going to dwell. It is by faith. And now he has left. Another group of cantankerous guys come. They come with a different type of message. Say, you know what? You have to experience this. You have to observe this. You have to do that for you to be accepted in the kingdom. Apostle Paul comes and says, and got upset. You know, it's a situation like this. I was told of a story. I heard about it. And those of you who were there in the day of UBZ probably have heard about it. UBZ was the bus company, the only bus company we had in this country. And so these minibuses that you see around, they were not there, I think. They were just those buses bought by this company, which was a parastatal company. UBZ, you will be there. And this woman was traveling. You know, this UBZ could ferry people to travel from Winlunga, where I come from, to here. It used to take us 2 to 3 days. I don't know, from Chipata. Yeah. You know, the way I come from Winlunga, Solwezi. If you are like the same day, you arrive in Solwezi. The road was so bad also. You spend a night there. You begin to look for another one. And because maybe there was only one that traveled from Solwezi to Kitwe. Yeah, from Solwezi to Kitwe. To the famous KMB. And then you also travel from there, you come to Kitwe, KMB. And that place was infested with thieves. If you leave that place and robbed, you are lucky. KMB. Then you reach there. Yeah, you were there, my sister. Thank God. And then from there now, from a KMB, you begin to look for another one to get to Lusaka. So you get 3 to 4 days to get here. And now there's this woman that was traveling from the village. I don't know where she was going. That's the story I heard. And she was lucky to find herself in that bus, UBZ. UBZ bus. Sat there. Those were buses. Sat there. She had a big luggage. the size of in the village, mothers carry things here. In the village, you ladies, I see your hair. Praise be to God for your hair. Because if you go into the village, this is a carrier. You're not going to go with the kind of hair you have and survive there. I doubt it. And so she put that thing here. Here. This is a carrier. You carry stuff here on the head. So this woman enters the bus. She found a seat. Used to be 3-2, something like that. Those buses, 3-2. Three to one side, two this side. Found there, then one side, and then she sat. Guess what? She still had that luggage on the head. And the bus started off, she had that thing on her head. And she's moving. And the person next to her said, "Ma'am, why are you carrying this thing still on the head, on the bus?" And she said, "You know what? If I put it down here, it will be too much for the bus." This is exactly what Apostle Paul is talking about here. You see what I'm talking about, guys? Hey, salvation is by faith, by grace through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ. I'll be talking about grace as well. How come you have been saved by grace through faith in Christ? Now somebody comes and gives that thing on your head, and you're still carrying the luggage. He looks at them and says, "Only foolish people can behave that way." Not only that, only people that have been bewitched. He must have come from a place where there were witches and wizards. Hallelujah. Three things here. Just as Abraham believed, it was accounted for him for righteousness. One. Abraham believed. He said all these things comes from the belief, the faith of Abraham. So Abraham believed God. Abraham believed what God said to him. He believed it expressly. We'll go to what to the statement that Abraham believed. It's an incredible faith. Incredible faith. He believed. And because God saw this incredible faith in Abraham, and the Bible says it was accounted for him for righteousness. Number one. Number two. Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And therefore, those that will believe like Abraham will become sons of Abraham." We've just been celebrating the Father's Day here. If your father is Tembo, you, Matembo, is not your father. If your father is Peter, John is somebody else's father. Only those of faith are the children of Abraham. You're not going to go in Africa, yes, we call everybody dad, father, due to respect. If I call you, I learned about this a few days ago. There was this father who mistreated his son so much, mistreated him a lot. And the son was growing up mistreated by his own father until the son grew up. When he grew up, he decided to pursue a career. You know which career was this? to be a priest. And so he became a Catholic priest. Guess what the father called him when he visited him? He called him Father. And the son said, Sonny. Those of faith are sons of Abraham. Thirdly, those of faith are blessed with a believing Abraham. Those of faith are blessed with a believing Abraham. Hear me well here. Abraham is the father of faith. He is regarded as the father of faith. And guess what? Abraham is the father of those who believe. He has become the father figure for those in faith. Therefore, you know what that means? He believed once for all, and God made a declaration on his life. One, you are righteous. Two, you are blessed. Abraham has been declared righteous and declared blessed. And so the Bible says, Apostle Paul, the implication he is saying, by implication, by that, those who are of faith have become the children of Abraham. And guess what has happened to them? They have become righteous. On top of that, what has happened to them? They have become blessed with Abraham. In other ways, the blessings that God declared on Abraham is the same blessing that have been declared on you by virtue of you becoming the son and daughter of Abraham. I remember in 2007, Pastor Walker came, Pastor Haley said, Pastor William, we're going together to the States to attend this winter Bible seminar. I didn't have the money. And I said, I don't have the money. He said, no, we'll go. We want you to attend that conference. And I was so excited. I remember that time I was in Johannesburg when I was told about that. And I looked at the thing and said, you've got to book for your appointment. I booked for that appointment with the American Embassy from Johannesburg online. I did. And I come here straight. I went for those interviews. And by God's grace, visa granted. And so we flew. I was following them because they had gone earlier. But and I remember, we're flying over the Atlantic Ocean from Dakar. Somewhere in the middle of the ocean, a voice came to me. I was overseeing the island of Bermuda down there. A word came to me. It came to me twice, and it says, when you go where you are going, I want you to look at two people, two things that I can see with the people that obey me. I brushed it off a little bit. It came again and said, you go and see two people and see what I can do with people that obey me. And I was wondering who those two people were. Actually, those two people were Kenneth Hagin and Oral Roberts. And so, when I reached that Rhema, Tulsa, to me, it was not the conference now. The main thing was to see what God can do with an obedient person. So be careful when God asks you to do something. Obedience is a great tool to unlock certain things in your life. Obedience is a great tool to unlock things in your life. I looked at that, and within me I said, this is what I can do when people obey. I went to look at Oral Roberts' work. The other thing, what I can do when people obey me. And so I remember this day after the conference, you know, we had to sit at the table with the great people. I know people like Kenneth Hagin and Elinette. And I remember one time, we sat there at this table eating. The other day we were invited at the Reverend Danik's place. And we were there, you know, we were eating. And this day when we sat, it's like Kenneth Hagin is here. And I'm here, not too far away from him. This is a great man God has used in the 21st century to do exploit. And the Bible says, know those that labor amongst you. And I say, no. These are great guys. Between them and I, the status is quite, the difference is big. But you know, now we are eating at the same table with them. Great guys here. I say, no. Next to them would have been those other great guys. How many people know here, just here in our country, to sit if there are bishops and pastors and the others, there will be a table for bishops alone. Probably pastors will be at the table here alone. Pastors. So that the bishop will say, hello, pastors. Now here, I'm seated with this. And we are eating. Again, as Pastor Walker said, it's natural to, you know, you reach a point where sometimes you begin to tap your foot down and say, yeah, you know, yeah, this is... I'm one of them. But deep down in my heart, I'm saying, you know, I don't deserve this. I never knew the Higgins. Pastor Walker knew them. Pastor Walker, the Higgins, those were their pastors. It is just normal for Pastor Walker to sit next to the Higgins and, you know, actually I found some guys in Brother Higgins. Say, hey, is your brother or is your, you know, that kind of thing. But look at this. I was at that table, not as a William or a Kantumoya. In fact, the long is even two names for them. But it was because of the shares. Is what I'm talking about? Because of the shares. I was recognized. I was brought nigh, very close to them, because of the shares. Because of Pastor Walker, I'm also here. So the one that was known by the Higgins was Pastor Walker. Pastor Walker is the one that knew me. Now, because of Pastor Walker, I was closer to the Higgins. That's what we're talking about here. Abraham became the father of faith. And those that believe become sons and daughters of Abraham. And the blessings of Abraham is upon you and I because of Abraham. Amen. Glory be to God. I look at this and say, wow. That's why Apostle Paul called them foolish Galatians. Genesis chapter 15, verses 2 to 6. I'll be very quick here now. But Abraham said, Genesis 15, verse 2 to 6. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heirs of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Mark that one, underline Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but the one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now outside, look towards heaven. And count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And the Bible in verse 6 says, and Abraham believed in the Lord. And the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham at this point, he was blessed in everything. He had everything. But his problem was, who's going to inherit this? And now he goes to the Lord and placed this demand. He said, Lord, you've given me everything, but who's going to inherit all this? I've only got Eliezer. Eliezer was a very faithful servant to Abraham. And Abraham said, probably Eliezer is the one that is going to inherit all these things. Did you hear the response from the Lord? Eliezer, that's why Abraham actually called Eliezer. Not only did he call the name, he called the original of Eliezer. Eliezer of Damascus. That means he was not a Jew. And Abraham, God says, not Eliezer, but your own son. How many people know that the status of a son is not the same as that of a servant? A son is a son, as a servant as a servant. A son will never inherit the blessing of a son, because a servant works for a pay, but a son has got a direct relationship with you. Not a son, not Eliezer, but your own son. How many people know that God is not looking for servants? God is looking for sons and daughters. If God is looking for daughters and sons, guess who are the heirs? Guess who are the heirs? It's the sons and daughters. Hallelujah. We see the missing link here. Abraham was looking for the son, the one to inherit, the heir, to inherit his stuff that God had given him. But God was looking for something in Abraham. He was looking for something. I said, okay, I need a son. And God took him outside and said, look at the stars. Can you count them? Abraham said, no, by far, I can't even count them. And then God says, you know what? Your descendants, your children are going to be as many as this. Do you believe that? How many people know that that is an impossible promise? How can one people, even to have 20 children, people will question a lot. One person, when the Lord said, go fill the world, he didn't say you alone will go fill the world. And so to have 20 children by one father, one mother, you are abusing the mother. Difficult. You're not going to ask the mother to bear 20 children. Oh no, you need, I want many because I was born alone. Hey, you are abusing the woman. 20 children, one father. I'm sorry, if you are here, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass. 20 is on the higher side with one woman. It is on the higher side. And everybody agrees with me. Now, if just 20 is already on the higher side, 50, we cannot even talk about it. 100, unheard of. One woman, one man. It's difficult. And now for you to be promised, yours are going to be as many as the number of the stars. There's no logic in there. In the natural, Abraham looked at that. You don't need to be a philosopher to ask questions on such kind of promise. You don't need to study philosophy to begin to come up with such questions. What, God? To have children as many as the stars? God, what are you talking about? What logic is that? How possible can that be? 20 is too much. You're telling me that they're going to be as many. How many women am I going to marry? You see what I'm talking about? But the Bible says, Abraham believed that statement. He believed. He said, yeah. Thank God Sarah was not in here. Because I was going to say, Abraham, what are you talking about? But the Bible says he believed. Abraham believed. That's an incredible faith. How it was going to happen, I don't care. As long as the Lord has spoken, I believe. You know what God said, Abraham? you are now declared righteous. If you can believe a statement like this, I ask you to leave your homeland to go elsewhere you did. I've asked you so many things. To sacrifice your son, you did. You in future you're going to do it. And now here, having all these children, yes, you say yes. In other words, Abraham was a yes banner guy. God says, you, this kind of faith is amazing. Abraham, you are declared righteous. You are righteous. Abraham became the righteousness of God. He became righteous, and God says, you know what? And on top of the blessings that I've declared on him, I've made this relationship, your position with me now, if this is, you are in right standing with me. How many people know that blessings do not define your position, but righteousness defines your position with God? Blessing gives you stuff. The people that don't even honor God, they are blessed. Because they meet certain conditionalities out of the declaration, out of the promises of God, and they amass the blessing. But to be in the right standing with God, that's a relationship. So Abraham, on top of the blessing that I've already declared on you, you are now in the right standing with me. And so, this is where everything comes from. And God made that declaration. He hasn't revoked it yet. And he will never revoke it. It remains the way it is. So the missing link here. Abraham was missing a child. But God knew Abraham was missing a relationship. He needed this close relationship with the Lord himself. So Abraham expressed faith. And God responded by favoring him. Abraham expressed his faith. God responded by blessing him. So Abraham is blessed. Abraham is favored. Abraham is a child of God. Woo! He's blessed. He's blessed. He's favored. We'll be talking about the favor of God. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 6, and the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from entrance of his tent to them, or to meet them, and bowed low to the ground. He said, verse 3, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servants, let me give you something. And the people answered, very well, do as you say. In other words, yes, you are in favor with God. Yes. He says, if I have found favor in you, and the people says, yes, you are in favor with the Lord. Just do as you said, but you are in favor. These men confirmed that Abraham was in favor with them. What is favor then? What is favor? The favor that we have just read here, which Abraham was asking for from the Lord. What is favor? The word favor is described in the dictionary of Latin and Greek as favor dei. Favor dei. That word which I gave you at last, at the beginning there. Favor dei. You know what that means? It's a gracious disposition of God towards man. It's a gracious disposition of God towards man. Favor is a gracious disposition of God towards man. Now, what is the word disposition here? Let's follow these words one by one. What is this disposition here? You see, many people are flocking to the so-called prophets around us, within the country and outside. We go there so that we hear the words of favor spoken to us. We spend a lot of money visiting this so-called prophet, and these guys are taking advantage of us. They are taking a lot of money from us, and we are willingly giving them the money that you should. If you've got such kind of money, guess what? Give offering to your church. Give tithe to your church. Bless your pastors, including me. I'll receive it. Just go ahead and do that. I mean, you know, your pastor visits you when you are sick. He'll bury you when you die. He prays for you when you are sleeping. He counsels you when you are in trouble. That is your pastor. He has you at heart. Doesn't he deserve to have it? I'm not speaking because I'm a pastor. I'm not even begging anything here. I'm saying, I'm just unleashing the biblical principles. That's how it goes. And Apostle Paul talks a lot about it. How do you take it to this guy who doesn't even know where you stay? Take it so that he gives you the word of favor. And you go there, you know what he says? I can see a butterfly on top of a roof. I don't know whether that is your roof. There is a butterfly that cannot even land and see it. Yeah, you go there and chase the butterfly. And you come back out, the prophet has said. He has said nothing. We all want to hear the words of favor. Favor. I want favor. You're not going to get favor from the prophet. You get favor from God. You're not going to get favor from man. You get it because Abraham was favored. You're going to get favor from God because you are a son and daughter of Abraham. You are the righteousness of God. You are the blessed of God. You are the child of God. You are what God says you are. And it ends there. You don't need to pay money to somebody to tell you a butterfly is on top of the roof. Whose roof is it? Hallelujah. You don't need to go to these seers. What do they see? What do they see? Let me tell you, in the body of Christ, the other time I was here, I preached on the gift of the Holy Spirit, didn't I? Didn't I show you a table of how God uses his men and women? He can write here. He can show me something happening there in your heart. He can. But you know what? He does that when he wills. I'm not going to stand here and say, this is the way I flow. Me, I'm a mister. I see in the hearts of men. Just where you are. I already see what you're thinking about. Oh, I know how much is in your account. Oh, can you bring it here? Because God has told me that you bring 5% of what is in your account. Supposing there is nothing in the account. You see what I'm talking about, guys? We're talking about disposition here. The word disposition means this. Legally, it means a final decision or settlement. That's why you hear the judges or the judges saying the disposition of the case will be announced maybe on Monday. You know what they're saying? The final decision will be made on Monday or tomorrow. It's an establishment. It's a decision. It's a settlement. It may also imply transfer or relinquishment to the care or possession of another. But let me look at this word. It's settlement. God's disposition on you is final. God's decision to declare the children of Abraham righteous is final. God's decision to declare the children of Abraham blessed is final. No devil changes it. No man changes it. No woman changes it. You may not be seeing it in your day-to-day life, but I want to tell you, as long as you are a child of Abraham, you are the righteousness of God. Guess what? You are blessed too. With the same blessings that Abraham was blessed with. Abraham was blessed with stuff. But above all, he was blessed with the relationship with God himself. So that's the word disposition. So favor in the mind of God is forever settled for us. The decision to favor you has been settled. When did it come? The day Abraham was blessed. I've heard again men of God making declaration at the beginning of the year. This is the year of favor. This is the year of blessings. This is the year of this. And then I'm saying, what about last year? Not too long ago, I was asked to go and preach somewhere, and they gave me a title. Please come and speak to us on the, what do you call it, my wife? On the year of favor. Not too long ago. That was a few weeks ago. I was somewhere, I was preaching, and it was a big crowd. I wanted to put pictures here for you to see, but I didn't put those things together. And I said, I was given a title. Say, you speak to us on the year of favor. Then I went there, told them that, actually, this year is a year of favor, just like last year was. And I say, even next year is a year of favor. Actually, even 10 years ago, it was just favor. And I said, until the Lord Jesus Christ, the favor of God remains unchanged. There's never been a year. There's never been a month. There's never been a day. There's never been an hour. There's never been a minute. There's never been a second where the favor of God is absent. And there will never be. Oh, how come, Pastor, I'm not seeing it? You are not, the fact that you are not seeing it is because you are not walking in it. It is there. Glory be to God. You are favored with the favor that Abraham was favored with. You are favored greatly. And it is final. It's undebatable. What we need to do is to know about it. Know about the favor day. As long as you have faith, as long as you are Abraham's child, this favor day belongs to you. So begin, know about it. Have the knowledge about it. Expect and accept it as a matter of fact. See the favor coming in your life every day. See it. Live in it. Thirdly, step out in it and walk in it. Proclaim it. You know what? Let others also be blessed by your favor. Sometimes we see God's favor in our lives. We just hold on everything, and we don't see it passing, and we're not seeing fresh things coming in our life because we're holding on to everything until we become Dead Sea. See it coming. Know it. Expect it. Step out in it. It is yours. It belongs to you. We have been favored by God himself, by virtue of us becoming children of Abraham. What is the relevance of favor? Favor takes you from nobody, from a nobody to somebody. Favor promotes you and raises your status. We see Ruth in Ruth chapter 4 verse 11. He was likened to Rachel and Leah. I'll talk about Ruth earlier. Favor grants you protection. We see in Ruth chapter 2 verse 9. We see the protection of God over her life. Favor provides you with all you need. Again, we see in Ruth chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. Favor repays your losses. We see Ruth being rewarded. She lost her husband. She lost her marriage. But God rewarded her. Favor lets your cup overflow. It changes your circumstances. Favor is God's ability in us to do things that are impossible to do. It is God's capacity in us to live a supernatural life, to live from ordinary to extraordinary. Favor means, what favor means, what favor does is this. No, favor is the encounter with, is our encounter with the divinity. And somebody says, when divinity come in contact with the ordinary, the ordinary becomes extraordinary. When divinity comes in contact with what is just natural, the natural ceases to be natural into a supernatural. So favor of God takes us through that. When you come into contact with the reality of what we are talking about, things begin to happen in your life. Oh no, I don't have money. It's much more than money. Oh no, I'm not yet married. It's much more than marriage. Oh, my company is not doing well. It's much more than that. When favor comes into your life, it touches every area of your life. Oh, I'm favored. How come my wife is not obedient to me? How come my husband is so cantankerous? How many my children is... You know what? Why should you begin? Why shouldn't you start declaring the favor of God in your marriage? Favor. You're favored. Favor. This is what favor can do to you. It is God's capacity even to live a righteous life that is enabled by favor. And so you're not going to go, unless I eat carpet. If I don't eat pork, then I am favored with God because I'm obeying the laws. You can go ahead and eat prawns. If you can eat snakes, who cares? That will not determine how favorable or not favorable you are with God. It's not about what you eat. It's not what you wear. I can preach here in jeans. Who cares? As long as you guys accept it, I can be in jeans, but I'm full of anointing and I'm full of the favor of the living God. Oh no, I'm wearing this. Who cares? As long as it is acceptable in the eyes of men, acceptable in the eyes of God, who cares? But here I want to let you know the message I'm bringing to you, that there is this disposition of God towards you. There is this favor of God towards you that wants to promote you from where you are, that wants to elevate you from where you are, that wants to put you in a relationship, a proper relationship with God. That is God's favor. It's not no years. From the time it was declared on Abraham, it continues to flow. Continues to flow. Ooh, hallelujah. You may not have everything in your life, but you are favored. Amen. Favored by God. There is no year. You don't need to wait for January. January, I'll be favored. No, you are favored. You don't need... I thank God for Pastor Walker. He's never stood here and said, this is the year of... Oh, this is the year of salvation. Can I tell you, this is the day of salvation. In fact, I will be making an article at the end about salvation. Because you can be saved any time. You can be saved anyway. You are favored. Biblical examples of people that were favored by God. Mary was favored by God. In Luke chapter 1 verse 28, there was a greeting from the angel said, greetings, O favored one. Mary was favored. Samuel continued to grow in both stature and in favor. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 26. Esther was favored in Esther chapter 2 verse 9. Joseph has the favor of God in Genesis chapter 39 verses 4 to 21. Apostle Paul was favored. Galatians chapter 1 verses 15 to 16. He said, when it pleased God to reveal his son to me, it pleased God. I did nothing, but it pleased him to favor me. Apostle Paul was favored, and all other apostles were favored. Peter was favored to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was favored. This is the guy, the only qualification he had was to catch fish. He was smelling fish. He knew how to mend nets. But to lead a group of disciples that included medical doctors, that was impossible. Personally speaking, I became a pastor before I even acquired a certificate in theology. Oh, you didn't know about that? I became a pastor. This one speaking here. I became a pastor before I even acquired a certificate in theology or in any biblical discipline. What about today? Oh, that's history now. But I became a pastor. You know what? It was just favor. I worked in a place at one time when I was in trouble with my supervisor. And this supervisor wanted really to get rid of me. When a woman wants to get rid of you, they will do all they can to get rid of you. And she tried. And she wrote to the MD, "Actually, I want to remove this boy. I don't want her in my department." And guess what? I didn't even know. You know, she had access to the MD. I didn't have access to the MD. And the MD wrote a letter, wrote back, responded to her, and said, "Remove him." And that communication started coming down from the MD. Down, remove him. And the other managers saw it in the establishment. They looked at, what has the young man done? No, we need to know what this young man, me, I didn't even know. What has the young man done? No, we need to find out. No, Adam, two managers met together. No, we need to see his direct boss. They went to my direct boss. No, we have seen this coming from the MD. What has the young man done? And she said, out of pressure, that no, I think the MD has misunderstood me. And they say, you can't do such a thing. We are writing an appeal to the MD. This young man is not going to be removed from his position. If the MD and you, there is a misunderstanding, your confusion, sort it out, the two of you. It should not affect the young man. He deserves to be where he is. And they went ahead and wrote, including my boss. They wrote an appeal. I didn't even know about it. And it went to the MD. The MD said, don't fire him. And when, by the time I was knowing, things have already been established elsewhere. I had no knowledge about it, but that's the favor of God. I am favored whether I am there or not. In my present, I'm favored. In my absence, I'm favored. I am favored going out. I am favored going in. I am favored on the street. I am favored in the field. I am favored in the air. I'm favored in the car. I'm favored on the bicycle. I'm favored on walking. In Jesus' name. Are you favored? Oh no, because I don't have this, I don't have that. I am favored. I'll be giving you certain practical examples how I've seen the favor of God in my life. That is just one of them. I told you how I was favored to sit with the Higgins on the table because of Pastor Walk. I was favored through him. By virtue of my relationship with him, I'm favored by those that he knows. Favor. Forever established. And I've given you this. Jesus Christ was in favor. Because the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 verse 52. It says Jesus grew in favor and in status. You know what it means to grow in favor? To grow in favor is to grow in the knowledge of that favor. It's to increase. To increase your capacity of knowing about this favor. It's not something that we are talking for the sake of talking. It's something that is real. That we need to know here. And once we know, you know, knowledge is the basis of belief. When you know something, then the belief system develops from what you know. That's what the Bible says. Even faith comes by hearing, by hearing the word of God. What do you know is the bedrock of your faith. If you know junk, you believe in junk. But if you know the truth, you believe in the truth. And the Bible said the truth is what will set you free, not junk. Some things need to be flushed out of our mind. They will never, 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 never take us anywhere. We're talking about the favor of God. The other one was Ruth. I love some names. Ruth was highly favored. If you read in Ruth chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, you see how favored she was. By the way, this Ruth we are talking about is the daughter-in-law of Naomi. Where I was preaching 2 weeks, 2 Sundays ago, I started going through this. And there was one of the elders that stood and said, is anyone with these names in the family, Ruth and Naomi? And there was one elder that stood and said, you know what? Naomi is my wife and Ruth is my daughter. I said, these names have got significance, great significance. Let me tell you just a brief thing, a story about this. Ruth was coming from the tribe of Moab. Naomi, the mother-in-law, was coming from the tribe of Israel, from the tribe of Judah, which is Israel. Now, Moab comes from the generation of, you remember Noah? No. Who is this one? Who has 2 daughters that slept with him? Lot. Lot, yeah, thank you. We are all theologians here. Lot, after losing his wife, you know the story. Where they went, he only was with the 2 daughters. And the 2 daughters decided that they make him drunk so that they can sleep with him to continue the generation. And they went, some of you ask, what's wrong with drinking beer, drinking alcohol? He was made to be drunk. When he was drunk, they took 10 to sleep with him. And guess what? They were both pregnant. Biological daughters. They were both pregnant. Now, the firstborn gave birth to the father of the Moabites. And then the second one gave birth to the Amalekites. And the Moabites and the Amalekites were great enemies of Israel. If you studied the Bible, you know that these were greatest enemies of Israel. They are the people that knew no boundaries. They worshipped anything. They sacrificed anything. They did all that was within their wicked power to do. And so they were wicked. And so they were enemies of Israel. But when Ruth and the husband left Judah to go because of hunger, they were displaced. They were hunger refugees. They left their Judah to go into the land of the Moabites. When they reached the land of Moabite, they had 2 sons. You know them, there was Mahlon. Mahlon and the other one was who? Kilion. Yes, Kilion and Mahlon. So these were the 2 sons. When they went into the land of the Moabites, these 2 sons decided to marry 2 girls from the land of them, from the tribe, from the Moabites, the people that they lived under. So those 2 girls were, one was Ruth, who was the wife to Kilion, and then the other one, is it Kilion or Mahlon? And then the other one was Orpah, who was the wife of the other brother. And then it so happened that the father died, the father to these 2 sons died. So Naomi remained a widow with her 2 sons and the daughters-in-laws. And 10 years down the lines, these 2 brothers died. There was a tragedy in the family, I think, because they died, both of them, 10 years after their father died. And so when these 2 died, Naomi only remained with the daughters-in-law. Now with these 2 daughters-in-law, you know that there were Moabites. So, stayed with them for a while until she learned that in Judah, now there was food. The hunger that displaced them from there is no longer there. It was over. And so Ruth decided to go back to Judah. Upon deciding to go back to Judah, she said to the in-laws, I'm now going back to my people. You return to your people. Return to your people. And that's how they went. And they said, no, we won't. He said, no, return. He said, no, we won't. And then he said, I'm not going to have another child. And eventually, Orpah kissed goodbye to the mother. But Ruth, he said, where you go, I'll go. Your people will be your people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And to cut a long story short, she ended up going with Naomi and married Boaz, a powerful Moab, who was a millionaire and was also a Jew. Guess what happened to her? Between the two of them, when she married Kilion or the other one, she had no children. But when she married Boaz, they had a son called Obed. Obed is the father of Jesse. Jesse is the father of David. 28 generations later, guess what happened? Jesus Christ was born in the same lineage. Hallelujah. Yes. Would you please stand up? I'll end here. If Ruth, from a condemned tribe, that is what we call favor. That's the favor of God. You don't know. I don't know what you have done in your life. Don't attribute what you're going through to the lack of favor in your life. I want you to know that regardless of your background, regardless of where you're coming from, God is a God of favor. He has favored you. You are favored by God. I remember how God has favored in my life. There are times I'll be thinking over something which I don't even have, but I'm longing to have it. God will just speak to somebody else and it will come. The car I'm driving today, I wanted to show you the picture. Before I went to Nairobi, somebody brought the car and gave it to Pastor Walker and Pastor Haley, and they said, this car is for Pastor William. We don't want him even to know us. Present it to him on our behalf. It is his car. Let him enjoy it. And I saw Pastor Walker coming to my office, and Pastor Haley said, accompany us outside. And we went outside. I thought we were going out for lunch to discuss some operational issues. As we were walking, Pastor Haley pointed to the car that was parked somewhere and said, Pastor William, here are the keys. Here are the keys. Give me the keys, baby. Oh, I've left them in the office. Here are the keys. The car you see there is your car. I said, Pastor Haley, you're kidding. He said, that's your car. And I found papers all over. Pastor William, this is your car. Enjoy it. Yes, we have received the things. I've given stuff myself, and my wife and I, we've given fridges, we've given TVs. That time we stayed without a fridge. That time we stayed without TV because we had given them out. But we have never given a car. And we've never received a thing like that. And for sure, that's the car we are driving now. That's the favor of God. Just 3 weeks ago, I was in Nairobi. I went to Nairobi. I preached in a church. I have just come from this leave, a sabbatical leave. I was empty in my pocket. And my leaders said, we are going to Nairobi. I said, I don't have money. They said, the church is not going to pay for you, but we will help you raise money. You have to raise money. Touch this button. Touch that button. You raise money. We want you to go with your wife to Nairobi. As I'm talking to you, that is history now. I went to Nairobi and I preached in a church. Half the church gave their altar call, answered their altar call, and came before the Lord, and their problems were solved. And I learned a lot from there. That is the favor of God we are talking about. You can be some of you, your favor is right there next step. It will come through the next person. Some of you, you are the channel of favor to the person just next to you. You don't know the favor of God. Now I want to let you know, regardless of where you come from, you are favored by God. The favor of God is upon your life. Those of you who know, I'm sick, I'm doing this. You know, when favor hits you, when you are knowledgeable about favor, it will heal your sicknesses and diseases. It will remove the empty pocket and put stuff in there in the name of Jesus Christ. It will help you walk with the Lord. It will help you heal your marriage. Those of you that are not married, in the name of Jesus, may you be married before the end of the year. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Those of you whose businesses are struggling, there is favor upon you. It will go down to your business. Why are you struggling? In Jesus' name, may that business be resurrected. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Some of you have got cancerous children. In Jesus' name,
May the favor of God hit them. May they come to the saving knowledge of the Lord. May they see the power of God. May you see it in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. As you leave this place today, go in your house and make a declaration. This house is blessed by virtue of me living in here. Doesn't matter whether it is rented or not. The favor of God fills that house. Whoever comes in that house is blessed because of you. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are in the favor of God. You are a son of Abraham. You are a daughter of Abraham. As long as you believe, you are blessed with Abraham. Stop complaining. And when you are favored, don't be selfish. When you are blessed, don't hijack the favor of God. Release it in the name of Jesus Christ. Let people see the favor of God in your life. In Jesus, and be blessed in Jesus' name. Oh, let us pray. Oh, hallelujah. Let us pray in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. There are some of you here that are saying, Pastor, I don't even have the relationship with God. How can I access the favor? Oh, yeah, that's a difficult question. You're not going to access it. But you have to give your life to the Lord. But you know, the goodness is that today you can give your life to the Lord. Today you can be declared the righteousness of God. The book of 2 Corinthians says, He who knew no sin became the sin of the world, that we become the righteousness of God. Every eye closed and every head bowed. You are here. You say, no, Pastor, I want to be in that relationship with God. I want to give my life to the Lord this morning. Can you raise your hand wherever you are? Wherever you are, just raise it quick. In Jesus' name. Raise your hand. You want to receive the Lord? There's one there. Thank you. Thank you over there. I've seen that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you there. Thank you. Any other? You want to give your life to the Lord right now? Do it quick. Because it is critical. It is crucial. In Jesus' name. Oh, those of you that put your hands up. Oh, you want to put your hand up. Just walk to the front here. Meet with me. Take whatever you brought with you. Just bring it here. Quick. Just come. In Jesus' name. Quick. Glory be to God. Just walk here quickly. Just go. I want to shake hands with you. In the name of Jesus. Just come quickly. Yes. Come and shake hands with me. She raised your hand, please. Just walk here. Thank you. Oh, I wanted to, but I didn't raise my hand. Just walk over here. Thank you. Thank you, young man. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? Glory be to God. Quick. Is anyone else coming? Yes. Run here, quick. Yes. God wants to favor you. Come here, dear. Come here. God, thanks, man. God wants to favor you. God wants you to walk in His favor, in His graces, in His righteousness. Anyone else? Who is remaining? Where are you? Jesus' name. Anyone else wants to join this? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I've seen Sister Hope here. And the team, they want to help you. They want to put something in your hand. And they want to explain to you what has happened. And they want to pray with you. So, because in the interest of time,